You are listening to the Green Lantern Corecast, episode number 104. This episode, The Other People. Wait, what do you mean, Other People?
Welcome, everybody, to the Green Lantern Corecast. I'm your host, Frankie Mateo, and joining me today are, from top to bottom, from the shortest to tall, Kuhan, our lovely mascot, Colton, the person we can't get
rid of. He's lovely. He's a lovely mascot.
Colton, we can never get rid of Colton. Eric, he has an opinion for about everything he can possibly think of, who
Extreme.
I'm clearly sharing a drink with right now.
Go.
Brandon? Click glasses. Click your glasses.
I'm doing what?
You're sharing a drink.
Oh, yeah.
You're sharing a drink, goddammit.
I, by the way, Frank, never leave the show again and leave me to host because last week was I mean, yeah.
It was still better than Frank. No,
it was as good as the show as can get, but, like, I don't want to die. These people.
Waka waka.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fortunate that I was there. If I wasn't there, they would have left it to Colton, and that would have been hell. But, you know.
I can manage.
I'm glad you took the reins. I'm glad you took the reins for me, Kuhan. So aside of that, we're going to, pretty much today's episode, we're going to be discussing the two issues of Green Lantern came out this week, in the past 2 weeks, actually, as well as discussing the DVD Blu-ray of the Green Lantern movie, which hit shelves not too long ago. But before that, Brandon, what do we have in news?
Well, the New York Comic Con took place about 2 weeks ago, so we have a few tidbits from that, so I guess we'll just jump into that first of all. Good news for all DC Comics fans, there's a Robot Chicken DCU special coming next summer on Cartoon Network, so we have that. So the first clip is actually out, and it focuses on Hal versus Sinestro. So
I think Geoff Johns is writing some skits for it.
Yeah, he's been a writer on the show before, so hopefully there'll be something good in there.
Well, I don't know about good, but continuity heavy, maybe.
Well, if dreams are a wish your heart makes, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
The Green Lantern animated series is set for a big 1 hour special coming in November, and Geoff Johns revealed that Larfleeze, a.k.a. Agent Orange, will be appearing in the show. There were some talks of St. Walker footage. None of that has come out, but there was a figure that showed the style of St. Walker, so we know he's definitely in the show. And we already know that
they could always confuse St. Walker. They can always confuse St. Walker to, Atrocitus' wife.
Atrocitus' wife. Maybe we just saw Atrocitus' wife. I mean, that's all it really was.
That's probably what it was, actually.
it's very likely. Very likely, actually. We do know that the Red Lanterns are the first villains, right? So.
Yeah, and they're not going to be doing. They're not going to be vomiting. They're going to have constructs, apparently. So
and Atrocitus looks nothing like Atrocitus in any other version of anything.
And they apparently have their own wills and personalities.
Which, to be fair, Atrocitus never looks like himself in any version of anything.
Yeah, per artist, he looks different.
Yeah, even through the comics, he doesn't look like anything.
In his own starring title, he looks nothing like he's ever looked before.
Pretty much.
Poor Atrocitus.
You know what
we should do this episode really quick? We should spend the next hour talking about how we can make Red Lanterns better, because we don't do that every week. We should tell people.
Well, no. Last week we decided, right, that you should be co-writing.
That would be a perfect discussion.
That we can do next episode. Right now, we have news.
That we cannot do ever. Yeah, it's a good idea. You guys are right.
For next episode, it would be a good topic of discussion. All right, Brandon, what else do we have?
Yeah, yours sounds like an interesting.
This is very interesting. I know we've all been wondering what happened to Cowgirl. So when Jeff Johns was asked about Cowgirl, he said she kicked him to the curb on when he came back to Earth.
That's right.
You may see her in an upcoming issue.
So that's right. Story after story after story featuring Cowgirl. All of us saying, why are we dealing with this character? No one thinks she's interesting. And she's just off page written out. The end.
Yep. Yes.
Wow.
Go fuck your – it's just – Jeff Johns is like, how else can I say go fuck yourself? I've run out of languages. I'm now going to say in the language of disappearing cowgirls. That's how I say fuck yourself, fans. Fuck you back, Jeff. Fuck you back very much.
I suppose they could have always ended it worse. You could have found her in the fridge or something.
I didn't care for Cowgirl either way. I thought it was obviously just a stupid trick to make sure he didn't date Carol for a couple of years. But for God's sake, you know, have some fucking integrity. That's all I'm saying.
Anyway.
Wine.
I guess getting back to the Green Lantern animated series – everyone's favorite Lantern, Carol Ferris, will definitely be in the show. And later on in the series, we will see, quote, other aspects of her character explore. So there's that to look forward to as well. Another tidbit for all you Brightest Day fans. In Green Lantern number 3, readers will start getting hints on many of the plot points that have been dropped since the relaunch. Such as the location of the White Ring and the identity of the first Green Lantern.
Oh, you know, we also didn't say that they sorry about the animated series really quick. They said that there's no way in hell Kyle Rayner's gonna be on it.
For the foreseeable future there are no plans for Kyle Rayner. Right.
Yeah.
Because when Kyle shows up, that means Hal goes a little bit nutso.
Well, Bruce Timm said Hal Jordan has only been a Green Lantern for a couple of years when the series begins. This approach keeps the protagonist confident and increasingly experienced without making him jaded or troubled by too long of a career. When asked if Jon Stewart or Guy Gardner would make appearances,
he said yes, both of them will always appear.
Tim teased that the other Lanterns and even Sinestro were a possibility down the road, and went on to say that the heroes would return to Earth by the end of the season for a finale full of interstellar warfare. And Kyle Rayner's appearance on the show isn't likely.
So Jon Stewart and Guy Gardner will appear at least once a week. One of the two. But Kyle Rayner never, ever, ever will appear on the show until you pry the scripts from Jeff Johns called Dead Hands. Right? Approximately what they said.
And I guess to wrap up any loose ends or such.
No.
We all saw the sizzle reel is what they call for the Green Lantern anime series that we discussed a few episodes back. Bruce Timm said that fans will likely see the DCU version of the Red Lantern Razor, who was a big hit on this cast, to appear in the comic at some point.
Wait, who?
Razor, the Red Lantern, who doesn't want to kill people.
Yeah, it's
you know, the nicest of the Red Lanterns.
He is this year's Aqualad, but for Green Lantern anime.
He'll never show up again in the comic.
So he'll be in the cartoon and no one will care. Yes, right.
He doesn't want to kill anyone. He just wants to horribly maim them. He's nice like that.
Oh, also, you guys may know this by being Suicide Squad readers, but King Shark was changed to a Hammerhead Shark because they didn't want him relating to the Green Lantern villain Shark. So...
Right.
That's big news at New York Comic Con.
Yeah,
big news.
There was also that makes, you know.
That makes an amount of sense.
No, I mean, I think they said something about Jeff Johns. Somebody asked about the movie, and people booed the guy for asking about the movie, which is like, sorry, deal with the fact that there was failure in your life. But somebody had said, you know, about the movie, whatever, and Jeff Johns was like, oh, there's still hope for a sequel, which everybody interpreted for him to say they're working on it, which, you know, obviously, it's just him saying. We'd love to make a sequel, but we're not.
There is a quote from him that I'll read in just a second that pretty much gives justification for the way people reacted. It says, I continue to root for it. I hope to get the character another film, and it will be live action again. I guarantee it.
Right, which is his way of saying that if we did another movie, it would definitely be live action. Like, I don't know many movies that get theatrically released. Animated sequels
Tron.
To fail live action
Tron.
Movies. To fail live action movies, but digitally animated.
Tron wasn't animated. So,
Animation.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 4.
That's
TMNT.
True. 25 years later. That's
25
true.
Years. So in 25 years, we will
get a sequel to this movie.
An animated
sequel.
We'll
only vaguely reference this movie in any way.
Hopefully, it will still have Ryan Reynolds voicing Kyle Jordan.
I just hope they have Chris Evans voice Casey Jones in the Green Lantern. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Other news, the Green Lantern DVD came out just last week, where you guys heard our excellent commentary on it.
No, actually, technically we had a commentary on the Blu-ray, because it was the extended cut.
That's true.
But if you cut in like 9 minutes later, it's the same thing. So.
Well, the DVD debuted at number one. Unfortunately, we're a week later now, so it's at number two behind Lion King.
Unfortunately, we're a week later, so now it's at number 17.
It's competing against Lion King.
Yeah, you're never going to be Lion King in anything.
Ever. Oh, for God's sake. But still.
It's the circle of life.
Oh, my God. I should kick you off.
It also lost to – what else did it lose to?
Pirates of the Caribbean. Came out this week, and it pushed it back on the first alert sales chart. So,
motherfucker.
Wow. But it did beat out Bad Teacher, and that's Justin Timberlake and Cameron Diaz.
Yeah, that movie that barely made it out of theaters.
That's right. When Pirates
also got demolished by Horrible Bosses. If I'm reading this correctly,
No. It beat Horrible Bosses.
I thought for DVD sales, it lost.
Oh, you're looking at DVD sales. No one pays attention to that. We're looking at Blu-ray.
Right. Sorry. I mean, it's more sell, but that's fine. It's right. Yeah, sorry. You're talking about 27 million versus 6 million. I agree with you, though. Keep hope alive. No, I don't even have a DVD player anymore. I think I do somewhere.
PlayStation 3 in everyone's home. PlayStation 3 in everybody's home.
I think my DVD player is currently being played with by my dogs.
All right. Well, that's the end of the news this week, Frank. So, till next time.
All right, and that's the show for this week. Please join us next time.
So, yes, we're going to move on now to pretty much our reviews to Green Lantern Core. Green Lantern Core, or should we do the stronger of the two issues right now?
I say we should do Green Lantern
Someone's
Core.
Someone's showing their opinion a little early.
Definitely say we should do Green Lantern Core first, right? Yeah. I say Green Lantern Core because I've read that.
Green Lantern Core?
Well, if you've read it.
Move to Green Lantern Core. Green Lantern Core pretty much taking place right after the fact of Guy Gardner, John Stewart, and the team of ragtag new Guardians. I mean, new Green Lanterns. Not me showing any signs as to which book is better. Go off to like pretty much do their cop thing and you know understand what happened to an entire world of that lost their entire water source. I gotta say, the issue itself again strongly drawn.
Their water source,
colors,
by the way,
pretty much what's going on
the entire
planet. Yes. Again, you know, story wise, I believe it's strong. It's actually going somewhere. It's actually being pushed into a nice mystery that's going on within the concept of the story. I enjoy it a lot, especially the interactions between most of the characters. Again, you can't a bunch of Green Lanterns talking to themselves and seeing what the hell is going on with different ideologies and whatnot, especially the fact that one of them actually didn't want to take down the dead Green Lanterns that were thrown onto sticks just because she wanted to define the crime scene. But of course, isn't my Cole being the hothead and lovable lizard character that we know him as. Is forced to have an entire splash page of just taking them down because he's again. I really enjoyed this issue. I mean, Carlton, what do you think?
Oh yeah, I definitely enjoyed the issue. I mean, it was nice to see some of the characters finally getting to actually be seen again. I almost forgot what Ismael Cole even looked like. It's been that long since he last appeared.
Carlton, he's the lizard guy,
right? The point is, it's been. I was trying to just make it an analogy that it's just been so long since we've seen him.
Well, we saw him last month.
I know you're good at anal.
I don't understand. Jeez.
Oh.
Smartassness aside,
so,
the point I was trying to make
last
was
week too in Blu-ray DVD.
Oh yeah, we did.
Yeah, you got.
I'm doubtful on that one. I think it was just some lizard they called that.
Okay, but somebody who looked exactly like Mr. Matt Call, so we still saw something like him. So
you definitely would have remembered what he looked like because it was earlier this week.
You guys are so mean.
You assholes.
Okay, we poked our fun.
The point was, I really enjoyed his appearance most of all. I liked seeing him go take the risk, try to make the sacrifice, and even when it fails, and even when they freaking tear off all his limbs, he just has he just attaches his ring to his tongue and then flies out. It's like, guys, run! Shit's about to go down. I really liked really his tenacity to stay alive. That's always good to see in a character that just doesn't want to just die, like some of these comic characters seem to. I definitely enjoyed it. The art, like you said, was pretty good. The characterizations were great. It's good. It's good to see Tomasi back on the back to see him back on with a duo of human Green Lanterns and a more eventful cast of Green Lanterns rather than just a random assortment of people.
Are you racist? Is that what I just heard?
I thought you were racist.
That
when I heard what you said.
No, the point is,
Tomasi can only write humans because he doesn't like aliens.
I was just trying to say that he writes these two better than he did in the last book with the other people.
Right. Well, the others. With
the other people. Yeah. What do you mean, the other people?
With those others.
Okay, I can just go into my kitchen and cut myself if you want.
Yes, please do. Go, now. Right,
he writes
sorry.
This one better than that one, is what he's saying.
I'm just saying, I don't know why he just writes certain characters better. That's his style.
Racist.
Tomasi's the racist.
Okay.
Tomasi's the whoa. Okay. So now we're calling Peter Tomasi racist. Jeez, Colton.
Show us the ball.
Oh my god.
Okay, Brandon, go for it.
By the way, this podcast does not necessarily share the views of Colton Clayton. Peter Tomasi, if you're listening, we'd love for you to be on the show. Colton will not be there.
Colton forgot Isamot Cole from earlier today, so his mind is not in the right place anyway.
Who are you, strange voice man?
I'm your father.
Throwing it to me.
No!
Brandon.
Please, Brandon, speak.
Save us from this.
I agree with Colton. I agree with you, Frank.
You agree with Colton that Peter Tomasi's a racist? I'm sorry. Continue.
It was a really good issue. Fernando Passeron is a really great artist. I still like the colors. It's really, really great. I didn't like Isamot going in and sacrificing himself. I felt like he wasn't going to die. And I thought it would have been a really bold move for him to kill off one of the three people we actually know in this comic. And that way he'll be able to build up.
And named off himself, too. Yeah. Peter Tomasi, Isamot Cole, named off from his own self. Yeah.
That would have been really great.
Instead, he loses even more limbs.
Had he killed off one of the three characters we know, it would have gave him a lot more room to build up these supporting casts that, you know, they're just speaking lines. There's no real personality within them. They're just speaking lines so far. But, no, this is how you do a battle scene for an entire comic and make it work. Usually that's done horribly bad, usually it's three pages, like Aquaman 2. But no, it was a solid book, with villains that are interesting, even though there's absolutely nothing known about them. So, I'm definitely excited for what's to come.
Nice. Kuhan, you finished reading this issue.
I did, in fact, finish reading this issue. I thought it was pretty good. You had some. The mystery angle. I did think it was a little weird in the beginning. Just awkward wording where Isamot goes like, they're not just sector numbers. They're names, and we need to go beat them. It's kind of awkward wording. Like you're gonna beat I'm taking them down. Like you're taking the lanterns down that are dead. Is kind of how it was worded. But other than that, yeah, I thought it was a pretty good issue. You had I don't know. I can't really say much more than the two before me said. So I guess it was pretty good. I like it. As Emilio, not Emilio. What? No. Never mind. Enrique Iglesias is what I was going to say. As Enrique Iglesias would say, I like it.
Was that
okay,
a
there?
I like it. Loca.
No, that was Ricky Martin, right? Living La Vida Loca.
Yeah, that was
so
that.
Okay, no, that? You know what, now who's the racist?
it was one of those Hispanics.
I'm kind of swimming in a sea of racism, mostly because it's all one color.
Okay. As many times I've saved the best for last. Eric, save us from all.
Well, I don't have much to say with it. I actually talk about this a lot on my other podcast, GraphicsQuench.com, DCNN. You should check that out because
that's a plug. That's
new quality. That's a good plug. That's going to run your generator for the next 30 years. But yeah,
plugs don't run generators.
It's what? Who has generators? Us over here with these
floods. The internet has generators.
No, but
shameless whoring.
But bro. Plugs run generators?
Bro.
Anyways.
Bro.
Eric.
Anyway, I think Fernand Passer does a good job. I think some of this issue is just one big fight, and it's interesting in terms of – we've talked about this a lot, Peter Tomasi's works and how issue to issue they don't really work as well in terms of building the story because the narrative is so kind of broken up by what's happening, you know, over six issues versus what's happening per issue. This is a good example of that. It's a good second act action sequence. It's a little confusing, and once you get into the – I think once you get into the ideas of guys being able to resist the rings because their wills are good, that's fine. I mean, there's kind of an argument about whether or not that would make any sense. I mean, it really wouldn't historically for Green Lanterns because it's not, they use their will to make something. It's not like if I use flour to make something just because you can – I don't know, whatever, dissolve flour doesn't make any sense. There's no analogy that'll work because it's a magical comic. But anyway, so that's an interesting sequence. But basically, that's the entire issue. I agree with Brandon that the Ismaq Kol thing was kind of weak, only because it implies he's going to die, and then he gets his arms and legs cut off, and he could just grow those shits back. It's not even a big deal. So it's kind of a cop-out, if anything. And I think the cliffhanger at the end that there's 1,000 more is interesting, except we know how it's going to end. They're just going to fight them and win again. So, but and the bad guys are kind of generic. But, I mean, I'm liking this. There's some good stuff. I think Fernando Passerin is a great artist. I think the coloring on John's costume is just not working. The shininess and the extra
green. That's awesome. That is the best he's ever looked.
I think the shininess is taken away from the design is way too simple, 100% way too simple to be represented unless you tweak it a little. And tweaking it, I don't think just making it shiny and then making the middle more embossed and taking away some of the white in the center. I think John needs some more white on his heart. You know what I'm saying? I thought, whoops. Lean into that.
That makes sense.
But anyway, yada, yada, yada. Not a bad issue. Kind of all over the place rambling, but it wasn't bad. I mean, the art is pretty incredible considering this guy puts out a monthly comic and stuff. A little confusing, I think. His storytelling needs a little bit of work. All right, so go Ninja, go Ninja, go.
Ninja.
Wait,
ninja.
What?
Right, rap.
All right, that's a perfect end for Leon Core.
He's not even Mexican.
Number
what the
two.
Hell?
Hey.
Hey, racist.
Mexican.
Enough of that. So now we got to move on to Green Lantern New Guardians number 2, featuring our boy Kyle Rayner, who's beloved by this cast. I mean, by at least three or... and pretty much, again, we're pretty much neck deep into what happens when Green Lantern gets a bunch of power rings and show up in front of his face, and there a bunch of people apparently have no intention of just talking him out of it. No, they just want to kill his ass. It's a simple method of if you see it with him, kill him with it sort of scenario. And, Tony Bedard apparently brings that to the fold. The only other things that pretty much come out of these issues is the fact that Gambit is lobotomized. We get to see what happened at the end of the aftermath issues of War of the Green Lantern to see where Grant is brainwashed or completely mindless drone or something. And how do I think about it? I don't know. I got to say, the costume at the end of it, god-awful, though.
I think the art gets amazing, like 10 pages into it, when Harvey Tildebaugh takes it over. And I think it looks great. I think it's kind of all over the place and wonky, and some of the storytelling isn't clear. There's a part where Fatality puts Kyle in a little gym box, and it doesn't really work. But it looks amazing, especially comparably to Kyle Kirkman's beyond workmanlike stuff. I mean, the guy just draws the scribbly frames that DC Comics uses its standards since its Wildstorm days, Waka Waka, you know, and just like Frankie made a good point on our other cast called DCNN on graphicsquinter.com. It's great. You should listen to it.
Again, really?
As the pages change, Kyle's hair gets horrifying. Like he's got this dirty ass mop of shit on his head, and then all of a sudden, he turns the page, he's got that awesome Harvey Tola bow hair, and then the next page, he's got dirty shit on his head again. So that art is awesome. That guy should be drawing the title. Sorry, Tyler, but overall, I like the issue. Not enough is really happening. I mean, I think because I like the character enough, what's happening with him is propelling me through the stories and stuff. But this is definitely all kinds of stuff that could be told in one issue. I do like him finally being like, fuck you, Guardians assholes, because they lobotomized Ganthan. It's kind of like after all the grimy shit they did over the years, this is the thing that puts him over the line. Like, all right, that's enough. Not just letting Sinestro, the guy who killed my mother and everything, become a Green Lantern and run around the universe.
That's
not
cool,
just
though.
Executing
guy, I mean,
prisoners.
Sometimes murderers can become cops. Right? That's
not just – no. Not just executing our entire prison in cold blood. Not just firing one of my best friends because he saved the universe. No, that's not enough. But you lobotomize a friend. It's grimy. Don't get me wrong, but it's kind of like –
he was more to him than a friend. He was sort of like his fairy godfather.
It's weird. It's weird to hear that. I actually kind of like that bit, but whatever.
No, I wasn't saying there's anything wrong with it.
I think there's something wrong with you. But the end design for the palette, the painting palette Green Lantern, I guess, the multicolored Green Lantern. I just think it's kind of it's a little shitty design. You know, they should have just come up with a brand new symbol instead of throwing all the symbols on there. And this kind of looks like what you'd expect them to design, like especially with the Wildcats.
They did have a new symbol. It's called the White Lantern symbol.
You know, so they really should have just kind of like thrown it.
Right. Isn't this what like everybody designed in like 2007 when they're like, oh my God, there's going to be other rings. What if they all combined?
It definitely looks like some shitty DeviantArt version of like, I made a lantern that's all lanterns and he's got super specials. And that's what it looks like to me.
Like, I'm pretty sure I made this in 2007.
Yeah. Weren't you like an eighth of a year old in 2007? An eighth.
I like it's an eighth of a year old. Throughout all of 2007, I was an eighth of a year old.
Though I like New Guardians. I mean, it's hard not to like a Kyle-centric title. And I did like the idea that what's his name? Not Kilowog was using his ring to talk, and that was a cute bit. And it's interesting. I think Monk kind of telling Fatality, hey, can I set you up for a line where you describe why love would make you violent? Yes, you can, sir. Tony even warned us that was going to happen in the interview we did with him, but it's definitely a little too on the nose. But I mean, it's hard not to like a title where Kyle is so prominent. He's just such a great guy.
I really like him. He's a nice guy.
I'm going to kick it off.
He's apparently just become a godly being. What's that like?
Can I just kick it off to that soccer ball?
It's like for the third time. Yeah.
And who doesn't love the Guardians? Enough of this. Take the rings and do interrogation on his ass.
Oh God, I didn't want this. No. All right. So yeah, I thought you wanted this. No, it was a.
This isn't what I wanted.
This is not.
He seemed a little desperate there. Like, calm down. It's okay,
that did seem a little. All like, right. What are you? What?
Why are you so panicky?
He just got overwhelmed by six emotions. Did you expect him to remain calm?
Well, I mean, you know, one of those emotions wasn't. You know, pussy ass. But anyways,
which one?
What's a pussy ass? Anyways, so yeah, I thought this issue was okay. I didn't really understand why Monk was so pissed, being second in command of the Compassion Corps. But you know, I didn't get why that made sense. But other than that, I thought, you know, Arkillo was. Like, hey, look, it's Arkillo. And did the Blizz thing happen like off panel? Did I just miss it?
Or
somehow?
What do you mean, her personality being given to her, or what?
Well, no, that never happened. But no, never mind. There it is. I totally missed the part where Blizz was restrained.
There's a part where Fatality attacks Kyle, and she's like, "I've been hunting your kind for years, Green Lantern." I'm like. Kyle is your arch enemy. You fought Kyle for years. Like, you think he forgot?
Yes.
He's like, you know, it's
no,
like
no,
he's racist.
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, humans look alike.
I'm fairly certain that the Green Lantern Corps was never disbanded in this universe, and Parallax never happened.
No, because they had the first issue of this series started with that, so it definitely still happened.
No. I'm pretty sure. No, because it just said welcome. He said welcome to the Green Lantern Corps. That happened first.
No, because the first page you see is all the wrecked. Owens and stuff. So
is
it? I think,
okay.
I
don't know.
It still
happened. I think it was just a lot because it had to have been very, very compressed. So it's very possible that like it happened and then like a week later it came back.
Remember, her whole mind has been rewritten by this ring, at least somewhat. Even though she has some memories, maybe she just doesn't view Kyle as anything.
Maybe the Star Sapphire just make you racist.
Well, again, that's
maybe just like, it's just
like this podcast.
Tony Bedard just did cursory research and didn't really think that line of dialogue would bother anybody.
Maybe that's exactly what happened. Don't worry. Next time we see him.
Shouldn't the editor have caught that?
Next time, shouldn't the editor have caught everything that Tony Bedard ever wrote? No. Next time he's on the show. Don't worry. We'll give him more ideas.
Jerk.
I meant Green Lantern wise. I wasn't dissing Rebels. You love that. Go ahead.
I will stab you.
No, I'm not. What I was saying, it's okay for you to like Rebels. God damn it. Anyways, so yes, this issue it was okay. Kyle Rayner exuded the classic Tony Bedard. I don't want to fight. Let's just all be friends, guys.
Let's make out of paper mache.
But there was the the train fight, and that was about it. And then when St. Walker showed up, it's like, oh yeah, of course St. Walker shows up after everybody else and not immediately at the same time for some reason. Even though isn't he supposed to be on Earth, or is that retconned?
He took a detour.
Because I remember he was supposed to like be staying on Earth for a little while, right? I don't know. Anyways, so yeah. It was mostly predictable, but it was pretty cool nonetheless. Yeah, Frank, toss it to someone else now.
All right. Colton, give me your opinion on this book. Give it to me, and it's in 5 words.
In 5 words, you say?
That was 5 words.
It was, exactly. Okay, Brandon.
Brandon?
Seriously, you're just going to say fuck Colton?
Oh, I definitely enjoy this. I mean, I like, first off, I like to see the little bits of characterization, like how Akrillo can still express himself thanks to his ring. I thought that was a nice touch because,
yes,
let's face it, a character who was only a mute wouldn't be all that fantastic. I definitely enjoy that we get to see a little bit more of the cast starting to show up. I kind of like the idea that they're all like, hey, we shouldn't be fighting each other. We should all be killing Kyle together. It's just a little moment where it's like, Kyle can't catch a break.
Well,
lately.
I mean, to be fair, Fatality does restrain Bleeze.
Well, yeah. If you don't restrain Bleeze, then it kind of ends badly. You know, the psychopath who's vomiting blood on everyone.
Well, and
she put Kyle in a big rock candy too.
And she was talking with a monk. So, like
she's the most reasonable of the group, which is kind of sad since Love's supposed to be the most overpowering one.
Well, really, the only two people that lose it are Arkillo and Bleeze and stuff. But I mean, everybody else kind of instigates. Further, I
well,
like that.
I know. I like the monk is like right at the beginning, like he's lying. Get him! I'm like, really?
Yeah, like, calm down. I like that Fatality is kind of still. I mean, you know, when Fatality first got turned to Star Sapphire, her entire personality was kind of subsumed.
Well, it's just like of all people, the compassion guy. Like, he's lying. Get rid of everybody. Rush him. Bob, rush him. Like, what?
You know, I had to kill the guy you took the ring from. He was my best friend. You asshole.
Though Kyle's a little too passive here, too, where he's like, just take the ring, leave me alone. And then at one point, he's like flying away. He's like, they'll follow us. And St. Walker's like, what if they don't? He's like, I don't
know. Whatever.
None of my business.
I really hope they do follow me.
I mean, I guess like it makes sense. Like, they'll follow us. Worst case, they don't follow us. Like, whatever.
He also like reiterates his origin again, too. I'm not really a big fan of that. Anyway.
Fairy Godfather.
I did like the touch of Kyle finally losing it and with how they just messed with Ganthet's mind, just going all out of them. It was like, no, enough. This ends now. Of course, then he gets chosen by every single ring. Right. Like, I definitely want to see where this issue is going. I'm definitely excited for it. I'm just just waiting to see what happens because a lot did happen. I'm just waiting for the next issue to really see where Kyle takes this new state of being. Just I'm not entirely sure what that is.
Okay.
If he's just going to be some kind of emotional psycho or something, I don't know.
Well, we've already seen Kyle as like an ultra-powerful entity and stuff too, so it'd be nice to have some kind of reference to that because that's like my favorite Green Lantern story ever.
Oh, yeah. So, Ion, round this home here. What's your opinion on the book?
I thought it was drastically inconsistent in terms of story and art. I mean, obviously, Tyler Kirkham isn't the greatest artist, but
that's an understatement of the century.
Or an artist. Yeah, sorry, Tyler.
But I did prefer him to Harvey. I'm sorry, those eyes are the most distracting pieces of shit I've ever seen in my life. And there is no justification to see the inside of Kyle's nostrils ever.
I didn't mention real quick. I did like how when he was showing St. Walker how Gunther gave him the ring, he somehow utilized all the rings that he wasn't using to show him in color. I think
it was a fantasy.
I like the idea that I like the idea of him utilizing all the rings to show it in color. or a memory, but because it was St. Walker's did seem to be all blue, but it's also possible that everybody in his memory was blue. So.
Yeah, he just has blue memory, except for his husband Atrocious.
He's just blue. Dabba dee, dabba die. I like that St. Walker's the wife in this scenario.
No, but this is all.
I know. I remember.
All right.
So anyway, very, very inconsistent.
Well, it wasn't inconsistent. It was just consistently bad.
Well, no, because I thought, like, you guys were saying, like, there were parts in here that were interesting. I like the fact that Fatality shut these up quickly. I like the fact that Kyle let Arkillo get hit by a sub.
I meant in the art. The art was consistently bad.
Well, no, there's a scene where Kyle is taking off from New York into space, and I thought the halfway done construct that surrounded him and St. Walker was pretty cool, and just looking down at those at the buildings and such, I thought those looked great, and that was really nice panel that you don't get to see a lot. So yeah, there were some moments in the art that were obviously super shitty, but there were moments in there like that were really great, like when Kyle arrives on Oa and everyone's pointing at him like, what the hell is he doing here? I thought that looked great. Like, Oa looked fantastic. It looked primitive and futuristic at the same time. So the art was drastically inconsistent, and the story followed its lead to the T. I liked the fact that Fatality let Shut Bleeds up quickly, and that Kyle let Arkillo get hit by the subway. Those are, like, great moments. But then you have scenes with the Guardians where it's just like, I've seen this three times in the last 3 months, where someone approaches the Guardians outside their little tomb and they come out just when you think they're gonna do some shit and nothing happens. Like, there's no breaking point for these people. I think the biggest climax we've seen from the Corps to the Guardians was Arisius slapping a Guardian in the face, and it was like, and what do we get out of that? Nothing. So you know, I was really let down on this issue coming from a really strong first issue. And like Eric said, retelling the origin again, like, we just saw that shit last week. You could have just showed St. Walker's origin. It was really, the more and more I look at it and more I talk about it, the worse it gets. So bad issue, typical cliffhanger. And we know it won't last more than 3 pages on the next issue. So, this is a very bad book.
All right. I see how you really feel. Still nice, though.
All his senses are
so
broken.
So that's pretty much the 2 issues that came out this week. So, again, these are the 2 issues that came out in the past 2 weeks at the Green Lantern Corps. And, again, it's a toss-up between about how good one. But, again, they're interesting stories. Again, in this new run of the DC's new universe. But we're going to get into a different take into DC's movie review. Pretty much the new Blu-ray DVD of the Green Arrow movie came out last week, as Brandon stated. We're going to discuss how much we pretty much liked the special features or disliked the special features. I mean, there weren't as many special features as I would have liked, actually. I mean, what do you guys think?
Yeah, I think that was a big problem for me. I think we all expected to see Jon Stewart in there because we know the film. I mean, because we know it was filmed. So I think that was the first.
Was that a legit cameo? Like, is that now officially? It's definitely a legit cameo because I know there was all kinds of like maybe that guy was just full of shit sort of stuff going around.
No, I think he was a Marine. He got the jacket. He definitely had some scenes with Ryan because they went out for coffee and all that. No, he was Jon Stewart.
Maybe he was just African American Marine and the guy was on set and he was a Jon Stewart fan. Not a Jon Stewart fan. A Ryan Reynolds fan. He's like, hey, you want to hang out? He's like, yeah, sure.
Sure, I'll hang out with you.
Yeah, like maybe Ryan Reynolds is just a cool guy. I don't know.
Maybe he's like, could you call me John Stewart while hanging out? He's like, sure. I don't know. That's cool, I guess.
I don't know. I think that really ruined it for me. And it's not as if the deleted scenes were all that special. Eric alluded to this on commentary cast. The crypt deleted scene just felt redundant. It's like, what? Like,
well, yeah, it's obvious that they reshot.
Yeah, Morrow scene. Yeah.
And it's really, like, when I watched it, I said, well, geez. Like, no wonder this got deleted. Not only is it boring, but it doesn't add anything to the story. It's just like it's holding the story back.
Well, I think the deleted scenes are – there's at least two deleted scenes that are telling that a lot of the Sinestro – and it looks like almost that whole yellow ring itself was written into the movie after they already started shooting and stuff. Because like you said, that crypt scene is just a rewrite of a scene that happens 2 seconds later, which means it was probably a whole other scene with Hal talking to the Guardians, with Sinestro wasn't even present, you know, or he follows him up after that and stuff. And then there was another scene that was just like that. I forget what it was, a deleted scene where it was the same exact kind of thing. I think I agree that deleted scenes lacking was kind of a deal. I'm glad we got to see something from the deleted scenes, but it's kind of – and it's interesting to – I was glad to also see what the characters look like when they weren't, you know, when they didn't have the costumes on and when they were actually like, you know, wearing their ridiculous green
screen. Oh, the CGI over them. Yeah,
and the dots on their face and stuff. And that was kind of cool, but it would have been nice to see. Maybe just – I mean, why not just produce the scenes and throw them in there and stuff? I mean, you can't really throw them in the movie, but you might as well have them kind of lying around, you know? Oh, there's a Carol scene. That's right. The Carol scene where he drops Carol off at the school or something is the same scene essentially later that was rewritten for her to be dropped off.
It was Ferris there for FSA.
That's right. I keep thinking it's a school, but it was definitely like Ferris, right? Yeah. I bet you that was shot at a school or something. Or I'm an idiot. But I think the extended edition – I mean, we talked about it. We covered the extended edition in the commentary. But I think it doesn't really add too much to the story in terms of everything it's added is already in the film. And they don't edit the movie properly. So the information that you're given in the beginning, it's repeated and given to you again moments later in the film. So they really should have worked around that. I mean, they just wanted to add an extra 6 minutes to the film without excising the 3 minutes they could have excised. It makes the whole experiment kind of pointless. It's just another deleted scene in the beginning, you know. And it doesn't add anything people really missed. I think people kind of got their film of the whole Hal backstory in the movie. I think that's not something that people were like, we need more justification for Hal sitting around doing nothing for this entire movie besides the fact that every superhero does in every movie. You know, they wanted to see more of the stuff they wanted to see more of, and that's not on there. So it's kind of a typical extended cut, quote-unquote, cheat. You know what I mean?
Well, I feel bad judging a DVD based on the lack of deleted scenes and poor features. Quality. No, not even features. I mean, because at this point, I judge all my bonus material on Harry Potter, and like that's my standard. If you don't meet the Harry Potter standard, then you're not a good DVD for me, and you weren't worth the purchase. So I feel bad judging Green Lantern by that, because I know obviously they had a troubleshoot with countless rewrites and rumored studio problems. And we all know that they got that last second, what was it, $60 million for effects or something. And to see it not go into deleted scenes, it's like I kind of want to say, well, you should have just used it on that. And then I kind of want to say, well, these were shitty scenes in the first place, so I can understand why they were deleted. No need to waste money even further. So yeah. I don't know. I'm really conflicted on whether I want to trash it for not having more shitty scenes, and you know, just not wanting to praise it because it doesn't meet the level of what was it, Casino Royale, that had some nice bonus scenes in there, and Harry Potter.
Well, I think
it was Mark Hamill.
Yeah, but you also get the same movie, right? Yeah, you also get, I mean, something like Scott Pilgrim, you know, which is a movie that cost slightly less than Green Lantern, you know, and has like an insane amount of imagination and bang for the buck. And then you get the deleted scenes, and it's an additional hour and 45 minutes of movie, you know. And I think something like this, you got to assume a movie like this is not actually made by creative people who are making it for creative reasons. It's Martin Campbell. It's a workmanlike thing. So he's basically just shooting what he has to. you know, to fill out the time. He's not actually shooting extraneous material. He's not like, I need three or four scenes of this and I need four or five scenes of that. Ah, you know what? It's not going to work. Let's not do it. You know what I mean? The idea of there being a $9 million sequence like Superman returning to Krypton and Superman Returns being an entire deleted scene is absurd, you know, and that's why it's so famous, you know, because it's such an absurd thing to do. But you get some good – I mean, you know, you get good stuff out of these things. I mean, Thor and Captain America both came out, and I think Thor has a good 20 minutes deleted scenes, which is mostly just comedy bits. And Captain America has like maybe 8 minutes of deleted scenes, which don't add anything to the story. So you can see it run the gamut both ways. But I don't mind judging the release on I could judge it by the content on it, and the content on it that I was excited about was the extra material. And the extra material, like you said, I can understand it's hard to judge the DVD based on the fact that it's just got more of shitty stuff, but like it's still shitty. Like if it's giving me shitty stuff, I'm still mad at it, you know? I think the rest of the DVD is kind of stupid too. I mean, the delineation between what the special features are isn't really good. There's like one where it's like making a hero, then creating a hero, then making a hero create, you know? It's like the same three features, and one of them's like how great Ryan Reynolds is, one of them's how great the comics are, and the other one's how great the movie is with Ryan Reynolds based on the comics, you know? So a lot of kind of running around, and the maximum movie mode doesn't really add too much to it, and I have not watched it on a 3D screen yet, so I can't really comment for that. I think some of it looked better. I think some of the detail in the costumes and stuff looked much better on Blu-ray because you could see it a lot clearer. I didn't realize that there was so much movement on the costume consistently until I saw it on Blu-ray and stuff. But the movie has not gotten better with age. I know I was one of the biggest defenders of it, I think, on this cast when we first talked about it, and I've kind of come around to the other way of thinking, unfortunately. But it did have Justice League number one on it, so I was kind of like, thank you for nothing, you know.
Give me the anyway, comic that I already had. They could have given Green Lantern number one. I don't see why they didn't do that.
I don't know. They wanted to promote the entire universe and stuff. I think
it probably wasn't done by the time they got done printing and pressing all this stuff.
I think it also probably has to do with, they want – at this point, they're like, since this is a failure and the actual franchise itself isn't going to work, let's just use this as a jumping off point to sell other products and stuff. So
which won't work anyways.
Yeah, I appreciate that it had a 6-minute clip of the animated series, but I'd seen the clip before, and the clip is kind of – nonsensical. It's just like a couple of scenes from the series. I mean, a little bit more organization might have been better on the DVD by itself. I mean, I would have liked to see a little bit more. I mean, you have to think about the fact that the amount of work they put into these DVD releases is completely related to the return they think they're going to get on this DVD sales. Like something Scott Pilgrim made no money, but the DVD is fucking loaded with shit. And it's mostly because the director is like, I made a lot of shit. You might as well put it on there. Whereas in this, it's kind of like they would have had to go on another way to make the DVD kind of interesting. And they're like, you know, it's not really going to sell that well anyway. It's not really going to franchise anyway. Why waste more time and money on something that's, you know, if you add 25 more seconds of Sinestro, it's not really going to sell anything. So I don't know. Maybe I'm being pessimistic.
Clearly. No, I watch every commentary track on every movie that I get the DVD of.
I usually do. Usually. If it's worth putting the DVD, I put it, I at least put it on while I'm cleaning and stuff
Well, I mean, I bought the Clerks 2 DVD for $5 because it was at Walmart for $5. I'm like, hey, I watched this movie.
Jeez, you might as well have thrown your money in the garbage. You might as well have wiped your ass with your money.
This is such a Green Lantern conversation right now.
even Kung Pao had a decent commentary.
All I'm saying is Clerks 2, which cost like $5 million, had five commentaries.
Something else about Clerks,
including a point where including where Kevin Smith had Jeff Anderson like in his room and they talked about it.
Yeah, I feel like watching Green Lantern on a small screen in my living room was exciting because, like, wow, Green Lantern movie. But it kind of just felt like watching an episode of a TV show. Whereas when it was on the big screen, it was a little bit more impressive to be like, wow, Green Lantern. Now it's kind of like, oh, yeah, that Green Lantern thing, you know? But what are you going to do?
I'd rather be watching Smallville.
It may be, yeah, I would. I hate to say it. It makes me, like, not as anticipated for, like, the animated series and stuff. I know none of the same people are involved, but it kind of kills me for the franchise a little. I don't know. Whatever.
Well, Geoff Johns is like tangentially involved with both of them, right? So,
what a dick. But yeah, what are you gonna do? Yeah. Sorry, sorry, guys.
So so there you have it. But aside from that, pretty much everything you hear from us is Green Lantern related for the foreseeable future, and that's about it. Hope you enjoyed our reviews. Hope you enjoyed our commentary on the Green Lantern movie itself, and hopefully you enjoyed some of the news that you got, little tidbits that you got from us during the course of the show. So until next time, I'm Frankie Mateo, and stay green.
Be sure to check us out at www.thegreenlanterncorps.com.
You can also email us at contact@thegreenlanterncorps.com.
You can follow us on Twitter at @theGLCorps.
And be sure to check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/GLSpotlight.
You can reach our voicemail line at 313-GL1-2814. That's 313-451-2814.
Thanks for listening, and check us out next time. And please stop masturbating when I'm talking to you.
Be sure to check out Kirby Crackle, the performance of our opening theme, Ring Capacity, at www.kirbycracklemusic.com. Also check out the Roy Clark Method, performance of our ending theme, Sector 2814, at freeweb.com/Roy Clark Method.
This magic green, it is the color green. It can do anything. Sometimes it speaks to me. It says, how? What have you done with your life? People around you keep dying. Use your will to right the wrong. And don't make us wait.
So why do we say stay green?
That's what we say now, apparently.
What the fuck was that?
That's
like how at the end of every Power Crisis, I said that Power Rangers, I go, and may the power protect you. And like the first episode, I'm like, wow, that's really lame. Then I'm like, God, I gotta keep doing it. Fuck.
You can't do it. You should stop doing
it. I don't need to keep doing it. I just wanted to say it once.
I accidentally made a thing for myself. I'm like, God damn it. Why'd I do that?
I'm like half getting drunk right now.
I think I put like usually a good solid amount of "go fuck yourself" at the end of every one of my DC.
Well, I mean, to be fair, at the end of every one of this show, you say stop masturbating.
Why are you listening to anything else?
Yeah, I wish we could get rid of that. I'm not even into that. I did not even think that was funny the first time.
Well, we told you to say something funny, and you said
that. You can stop doing it. You know,
and everybody's like, "That's so amazing." No, I'm talking about the masturbating thing. It was like, "That's so great. Let's keep it in there." I'm like, I'll say something else, please.
Say something else and send it to me. Like, make like 8 takes of different funny things and send them to me, and then I'll. Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm not taking it out.